You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, winner of the ShareCare Emmy Award for Social Storytelling and the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie, and today we're continuing with our dynamic postural assessment. Really, the only one we're looking at currently is the overhead squat assessment. And we've gone through a series of different things where the feet turn out, the knee valgus position, the excessive forward lean of the trunk. So we're moving on, and we're going to talk about excessive arching in the low back when you see an overhead squat assessment. So overhead squat assessment, your feet are lined up, straight ahead, hip to shoulder width apart, knees are in line with the second and third toe, neutral position at the pelvis. And then you raise the arms overhead. They go straight up overhead. We're looking at a straight line. If I'm looking at you from a lateral view, that is a straight line from overhead position down. Sometimes the arms don't get all the way overhead, but when they do, sometimes the low back arches. In order for the arms to get overhead, the low back will arch. Sometimes the low back maybe doesn't arch when the arms go directly overhead, but as soon as you start to initiate movement, the low back starts to arch. And so we're going to identify, we're going to look at a few things according to the chart in the CPT-7 textbook. So this is an appendix. So in Appendix A in your CPT-7 textbook, so if you're looking at the CPT-7 textbook, this is what it looks like right here. If you're watching on YouTube, and we're looking at page 811. So go to page 811. This is podcast, YouTube. If you're listening, watching, 811 is where we're pulling these from. And we're looking at this page where it goes over. It's just a one pager. It's amazing. Static assessments and postural assessments. We're talking about the static assessments and dynamic assessments, and they're all postural assessments. So we're looking at where it says LPHC, that's lumbopelvic hip complex, in the almost far left column there. And then go over one, it's about middle of the page, it's low back arch. And in the low back arch, it shows several things, several muscles that could be potentially overactive in a shortened position leading to the low back arching, this excessive version of the low back arch, because there is a natural arch to the low back. The excessive version of the low back arching, we're moving beyond what would be a normal, natural, identifiable curve in the low back. What could be contributing to it? The first one, it says hip flexors. And there are several muscles here that are part of the hip flexor group. And the hip flexor group is just the muscles that do hip flexion, that joint action. But there are some major hip flexors that we'd be looking at here. Now, all of them can play and contribute, which would lead to potentially an anterior pelvic tilt of the pelvis. And if the pelvis anterior tilts, in order for me to try to maintain a more upright position, I might arch my back. So if I do that, then that is that's like a double whammy compensation. It's an anterior pelvic tilt followed by an extension of the lumbar spine, or extra extension of the lumbar spine, to try to keep the chest upright. So what you're looking at here, the hip flexors can create that anterior pelvic tilt, but there is a hip flexor muscle that pulls directly on the lumbar spine. They attach directly to the anterior or front part of the lumbar spine. And the psoas, or phonetically, the psoas major, is a muscle, and it attaches to the transverse processes, the anterior bodies, and even the intervertebral disc. It attaches to the front part of the spine. So as it starts to get short, tight, overactive, not only does it lead to a tilt of the pelvis, it compresses the lumbar spine, but it also pulls the lumbar spine down and forward, creating an excessive arch in the low back. And so not just any hip flexors, all of them can contribute to the arch in the low back through the anterior pelvic tilt, leading to the erectors to go into more extension. But it's actually the psoas major that pulls the anterior pelvic tilt, but also increases the actual extension of the lumbar spine. So that's why hip flexors will be there. It's kind of a two-prong process there. But then it talks about the lumbar extensors. Well, if there's extra extension in the lumbar spine, then it does seem that the extensors of said lumbar spine would be a contributor to that issue. So the lumbar extensors will definitely have a component of that actual postural deviation that you're looking at, the overactive muscles, hip flexors, lumbar extensors. And another one of those lumbar extensors, so it's not just the erector muscles, but that's kind of what this is talking about when it says lumbar extensors, talking about the erector muscles. And there are three erector muscles specifically that would be addressed there. And you'll get into that deeper in the corrective exercise specialist course through NASM. But also one of the contributors are going to be the lats. When they're short, tight, overactive, those arms tend to go overhead, and then it forces that anterior tilt of the pelvis. And as the arms go overhead, the lats attach to a thick piece of fascia in the lower back called the thoracolumbar fascia or thoracolumbar aponeurosis, which is just a thick tendinous fascia that muscles can attach to. So specifically this one. And as the arms go overhead, if I don't have enough range of motion with my arm going overhead and I'm not getting shoulder flexion as I go arm overhead, then I will steal some range of motion from my low back and give it to my shoulder. And so as we arch the back, then it allows my arm to go overhead a little bit farther. And that leads to an arch in the low back, specifically in the overhead squat assessment when we watch this particular postural, dynamic postural assessment. So these would be the muscles that we would look at. And we'd say, all right, these muscles are potentially the short, tight, overactive muscles. Now, what do we do with those? Well, we can do inhibiting. Some would use a foam roller. I don't ever use a foam roller on the low back. But you can do other things that get into the muscles. So you can use small ball that gets specifically into the lumbar extensors, or you can use one of the, like a Theracane or a trigger point device where it creates a hook. And then you can just use that and kind of reach around to the low back and dig into those muscles a little bit and get them to calm down. Now, the muscle that you can't get to, it's one of that specific hip flexor muscle, the psoas, which remember, I said it attaches to the anterior bodies and the disc and the transverse processes of the lumbar spine. Well, you ain't getting to that really with a hook or a foam roller or really any other device. There are a lot of times where there are devices they create to try to get into that muscle. And I suggest if you're a personal trainer, I wouldn't direct anybody to use that just because you're going through a bunch of abdominal organs. You're going through the intestines. You're going through, there are a lot of things back there you don't need to be pushing on, including the kidneys. You don't want to get up into the liver. And here you are trying to do an inhibitory technique on a muscle, and you're doing potentially some things you shouldn't be doing and poking into areas you shouldn't be poking into. It's just not, it's not worth the liability. I would just say static stretch that. Don't worry about trying to get in and inhibit that muscle. You can do the other hip flexors. You can do the rectus femoris. You can do the TFL. You can do the adductor complex. You can do the sartorius. All of these muscles that are also hip flexors, but I would not suggest going in after the iliacus or the psoas. I would leave that for some licensed professionals to get into, and we just focus on static stretching those particular muscles. And then there's the lats, which you can foam roll, the foam roller, and the lats just underneath the armpit, down the inferior angle of the scapula and below. Just do not roll down and foam roll onto the floating ribs. Stay with the connected ribs and above, and you should be able to get the lats just fine right there. And those are your inhibitory techniques. And then you can go into your static stretching. So your kneeling hip flexor stretch, you can do a standing hip flexor stretch. Remember, those will all be done with a posterior pelvic tilt, and that will flatten the low back out. That does the opposite of the anterior tilt, which all the hip flexors will contribute to. So the posterior tilt gets that hip flexor muscle nicely. And then we can go into the lumbar extensors and the lats. And you can do this within the same stretch. There's a stretch, I think it's delightful, that you can use. You'll get both of these muscles and muscle groups, the lats and the erector muscles of the low back, through a stretch called the child's pose. Child's pose stretch, where you are down on your knees, and then your butt goes down towards your heels as you are in this absolute bowing down position. Arms reached out over your head, but your head is on the ground, your feet, your knees are on the ground, and you are bowing down. You are supplicate as you're reaching down. And then just reach the arm forward, stretch away to get one side lat, and then stretch away to get the other side lat. But as you're doing that, you're rounding your low back, reaching your arms overhead, getting both of those muscle groups. Those are definitely great muscle groups and a great stretch that you can do to stretch both of those at the same time. Now, low back arches, let's get into the underactive muscle. Well, any of the muscles, the hip flexors, are going to go into that anterior pelvic tilt, which can lead to the arch in the low back. So the muscles that can do a posterior pelvic tilt would be indicated as muscles that you could work at strengthening to help create that neutral, stable position in the spine. So that would be the gluteus maximus, which is kind of a major hip extensor. So if we're going into a hip flex anterior tilt position, then I want that muscle as a hip extensor posterior tilt position to try to neutralize the movement out of a neutral position. Hamstring complex, also very strong hip extensor. They are very strong posterior tilters. And so that would help balance out that position. And then the final one, if there is an arch in my low back, then my abdominals are my low back flexors. They are my spinal flexors. And so it could be my abdominal complex, not just rectus abdominis, but my stabilizing muscles, my rectus abdominis, my external obliques, my internal obliques can also flex the spine, and then stabilizing the spine to keep it in that neutral position. All of those will be contributors that we would want to add strengthening components to potentially. Again, they are not all necessarily underactive, but these are contributing muscles that we would want to look at and see which ones that we can do. And you could probably just do strengthening exercises for all of them. You could do potentially stretching and inhibitory techniques to all the previous ones we talked about, and then do a nice integrated exercise where you are working your lower body, your lumbopelvic hip complex, and your upper body. Simple things like squat to row, a squat curl overhead press, where everything's working together in unison to try to then be very focused on maintaining good postural positioning. And if you can maintain that, then that's what we're looking for. That's going to be an excellent series of exercises that you can do. So again, let's go over them. Low back arches, we got the overactive muscles, low back arch, hip flexors, lumbar extensors, and latissimus dorsi. We've got the underactive muscles. We're looking at potentially the gluteus maximus, the hamstring complex, and the abdominals. And that is the dynamic postural assessment, excessive low back arch. Just a little review for some of the things that you might be studying for your exam, or when you're working with clients and you're like, oh man, I see a low back arch. What is it again that I want to pay attention to? So these are examples. And you can get a little bit deeper as you get into the corrective exercise specialist text, but for our CPTs, this is what we're looking at. And just because these are some of the muscles that are listed, you're not a physical therapist, right? Stop fancying yourself a physical therapist. Go into personal training to be a solid personal trainer, but address some of the postural things that a personal trainer needs to address before doing the personal training, before doing the fitness focused stuff. There's movement and then there's the fitness component. So address the movement, then provide the fitness, right? Don't come in here and I'm not saying, don't be the personal trainer that just says, all I'm going to do is focus on your hip flexors and we're going to do this and we're going to, listen, you can do that. You can't do that as just a CPT. You need to get very progressed. And if you want to go into physical therapy, be a physical therapist. I think that's great. But it doesn't mean as a personal trainer, we don't address these things. I think we can address it, but address it and still be a personal trainer. Go after fitness, go after being stronger, being more stable, building your aerobic and anaerobic base. Be the fitness person here because that's who we are and that's what we do. And I know because I got caught up in corrective exercise at some point early on in my career and I was like, oh, don't do that. That's bad for this. Don't do that. That's bad for this. That's not true. That's not true. We address corrective movements and then move. And that's what I want you to do. Take this and apply it. And then move with your clients. All right. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, share with your fitness friends and family. And if you got questions for me, you can reach out to me. You can hit me up on Instagram or Threads at dr.rickritchie, or you can just email me rick.ritchie@nasm.org. Y'all keep inspiring people to fitness. Thanks for listening. This has been the NASM CPT Podcast.